You are listening to ebuzz.com. Muhammad Rasulullah alayhi salatullah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين ونصلي ونسلم على خاتم النبيين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد, dear listeners, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. It gives me great pleasure to be with you once again. Today is Monday, the 14th of August 2006. Yesterday we covered the important lessons that we learned from the surah whilst Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was in the prison, the important lessons for those who invite towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, important lessons for parents, important lessons for teachers, all those who find themselves in a position of authority. And we spoke about the important ways that you do da'wah, that you should be short to the point, you should invite to that which is the most important, to Tawheed, obviously, for those who are inviting towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the different methodologies that you can use, the different ways to draw those that you are speaking to into you. We did say at the beginning, and I'll say it again, Surah Yusuf is nothing but a madrasa, a school in itself, a lesson for a believer in every walk of his or her life. Now, before continuing today, you know, there's a hadith program that is done every morning after Fajr, and the hadith that we mentioned, and I thought I'd share it with you, a beautiful hadith narrated by Ibn Abbas radiallahu an. You know, I was speaking to him at the masjid this morning and saying that he tells us a teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whereby Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَرْبَعُ مِنْ وَمَنْ أُعْطِيَهُنَّ فَقَدْ أُعْطِيَ خَيْرَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ, that there's four things that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants it to a person, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has without doubt granted this person the best things of this world and the akhirah. أَرْبَعُ مَنْ أُعْطِيَهُنَّ فَقَدْ أُعْطِيَ خَيْرَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses this person with these four things, then Allah has given him the best of this world and the hereafter. So what are these four things? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says the first thing is لِسَانٌ ذَاكِرٌ, and the second thing is وَقَلْبٌ شَاكِرٌ, and the third thing is وَبَدَنٌ عَلَى الْبَلَاءِ صَابِرٌ, and the last thing is وَزَوْجَةٌ لَا تَبْغِيهِ خَوْنًا فِي نَفْسِهَا وَلَا مَالِهِ. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says the four things is, firstly, a tongue that is moist with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a tongue that always remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and without doubt a person who always thinks of good, thinking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doesn't have time to enter the evil avenue of backbiting, of telling lies, of speaking in a vulgar manner, and all that which is disliked to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَقَلْبٌ شَاكِرٌ, and a heart that is thankful. A heart that is thankful is a heart that always recognizes the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember from Surah Yusuf we were saying how he said, وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَشْكُرُونَ, that most people do not thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when did he say this? He said this after telling the two inmates of his belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that he doesn't associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he is thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided him. And also the same applies to us, that we should have a heart that is thankful, firstly, of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us, that we are from the followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if we are guided followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we need to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even more, and we need to thank him for the bounties and blessings that he has declared over us and granted us in the good homes we live in, the good families we come from, the children that we have, the financial standing and material well-being that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, good health, you know, free time. All these blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us, we should not take it for granted. We should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَئِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ, that if you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal will increase for you his bounty. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَبَدَنٌ عَلَى الْبَلَاءِ صَابِرٌ, a body that is patient in times of difficulty. In times when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing it, this body is patient, it understands that he or she is a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is part of life, I have to be patient. They understand the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whereby he said that a believer, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him, he thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ta'ala, or she thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or by thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is good for them. And also, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests this person, then this person, he or she, is patient in that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing them with. And as a result, that is also good for them. So when good comes to them, they thank and it's good for them. And when Allah tests them, they are patient and it is also good for them. So a body that is patient in times of difficulty, accepting all what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees upon us. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ends it and says, a wife who is honest or is trustworthy in herself and in her ability to deal with his finance, meaning the husband's finance, that she doesn't cheat him. She is not deceiving. She doesn't have this quality of one who is deceptive and of being a person who cheats. So she is honest in herself in that she's loyal to her husband and that she is honest and loyal in the husband's belonging. And it is not rocket science. We don't need a lot of speech in making one understand the importance of having a pious wife. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Ad-dunya kullaha mata'." Subhanallah, that the world is full of mata', meaning things which are just there to enjoy. وَخَيْرُ مَتَاعِهَا, and the best of all things that you can enjoy, or the best of all the things that this dunya has to offer, is a pious wife. الزَّوْجَةُ الصَّالِحَةُ, a wife who is pious. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the acceptance, or to grant us the understanding of this hadith, and accept us to be from amongst those who he grants to us the best of all things that he can give us in this world and the year after: a tongue which is moist with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a heart which is thankful, a body which is patient when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests it, and a wife who is honest in herself and in her husband's belongings. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept and grant us this ni'mah and these blessings. And we also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us thankful for when he does grant us these ni'mah and these bounties and blessings. Moving on with the tafsir, yesterday again we stopped at an important aspect of the surah where we said this ayah we can take a lot of lessons from. And in fact, the ulama of tafsir have spoken a lot about it. Before going into that, we spoke about Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam inviting these people to Tawheed. Did these two accept his message? This is the question that is put out. Did they actually accept the message of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, that okay, we've heard what you have to say, you are a honest man, you are a learned person, you this person who is a contributor to this to the environment that you are in, we've seen good in you, you have invited us to this thing, to this aspect of tawheed and believing in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Did they accept his message? We don't know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't tell us. But I'm mentioning this to teach us, and we learn from this, that our responsibility is not to convince the people. Well, let me not use the word convince. Not to force the people into guidance. That's not our responsibility. We can't make somebody practicing and make somebody not practicing. That is from the guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants upon a person. Or the duty that we have to fulfill is actually passing on the message. So this is a lesson that we are taught, that whether the person accepts the message or whether they don't accept it, that is not in your hands. So an inviter towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should never feel disappointed and depressed and in a state of no optimism when he or she carries on inviting towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and nobody listens and accepts the message. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala confirms this for us when he said, إِنَّكَ لَن تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتِ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ, that you will not guide anybody that you wish, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides those who he wishes. So our responsibility is to pass out the message, to get the message across. Make sure that our neighbor is invited towards tawheed if he's not a Muslim. Our clients at work are invited towards tawheed if they are not Muslims. Those who work underneath us are invited towards tawheed. So the job responsibility, what is necessary upon us to do and to carry out, is done. On the day of Qiyamah, these people won't stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, Ya Allah, I lived so many years next to this Muslim person, this person who believed in your oneness, but not one day did he or she ever invite me towards you. And what situation will we be in if we are accused of such an accusation on the day of Qiyamah? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on us, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. So our duty is to pass on the message. And yesterday we spoke of different ways we can use. I don't want to repeat it, but we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the understanding and to make it easy for us. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالَ الَّذِي ظَنَّ أَنَّهُ نَاجٍ مِّنْهُمَ اذْكُرْنِي عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ فَأَنْسَاهُ الشَّيْطَانُ ذِكْرَ رَبِّهِ فَلَبِثَ فِي السِّجْنِ بِضْعَ سِنِينَ. That Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam said to the one who he knew would go free, mention me before your master. Tell the king about me, that you met me and who I am and the things that I've taught you. But Shaytan made this person forget to tell the king of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, and as a result, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam spent several more years in the prison. Now, we learn from this a few lessons. First and foremost, I want to speak on the aspect of dhanna, in case there are those outside who actually are studying the Arabic language. Dhanna in normal circumstances is translated as thought, a person who thought something. Is not sure, a person who is not sure, he's thinking. But in this circumstance and in the Arabic language, dhanna can also be used to denote yaqeen, meaning when you are sure, when you know something. So dhanna in context can be used to denote someone who's thinking, and in context can be used to denote somebody who knows. And in this context, dhanna here means the person who Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam knew was going out the prison. So this is a bit of benefit for those who are actually studying the Arabic language. So, and obviously Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam knew this person was going to get out, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him the interpretation of dreams and taught him prophethood and was revealing to him. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam never knew the unseen except with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam knew this person was going out. He said, listen, remember me to your master. And shaitan made this person forget. Now, before moving on, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam asking this person for help, that listen, remember me to your master. Is this allowed or not allowed? This is a question which somebody may ask, that why isn't he asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, since he was always taking guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why here is he telling this person that, hey, listen, help me out here. When you get out there, tell your king about me. So we learn from this the permissibility in doing so. This falls under the category of al-akhdhu bil-asbab. And I did discuss it the other day, that you use all those means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made available to you. You use as a means that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a means. Then you put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just as a person locks his home, switches on the alarm system, informs the neighbors that he's leaving, make sure they look out for his home, and then he puts his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he uses all the means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made available to him, instead of just leaving the house open, not switching on the alarm system, not informing anybody he's going, and then saying, you know what, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, my house will be broken into, and if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want, then no one will break into my house. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does what he wants, he questions, no one questions him. However, it is from tawheed. Al-akhd bil-asbab is from the aspect of tawheed and your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you do all those things that you are capable of doing, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a means for you, and then you place your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So shaitan here made this person forget. And just as a recap, so what Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam did was totally correct, and it's a lesson for us. It is from al-akhd bil-asbab, which is using as a means which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a means. This is from the completeness of tawheed. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was in no error seeking assistance from somebody, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a means of assistance, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So shaitan here made, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that shaitan here made this person forget. And as a result, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam spent so many more years in the prison. And without doubt, mankind is weak and mankind can forget. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us in this ayah that shaitan is a cause for somebody forgetting. Shaitan can be a cause for somebody actually being forgetful. Shaitan has the ability to make someone forget. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of his mercy on the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, doesn't punish us and hold us responsible for that which we have forgotten or for any mistakes that we have made. وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. Mankind is created weak. So we are prone to making mistakes. That's the first thing. And the second thing is, we are prone to forgetting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of his divine mercy, does not take from the son of Adam that which he has forgotten and that which he has made a mistake in. And that's why in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to say, رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَخِذْنَا إِن نَسِينَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا. That, Ya Allah, don't hold us responsible for that which we forgot and that which we may have made a mistake in. And in a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, رُفِعَ مِنْ أُمَّةِ الْخَطَأْ وَالنِّسِيَانِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has lifted from the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the aspect of them forgetting and of them making mistakes. Not that they won't forget and they won't make mistakes, but he's lifted from them the aspect of meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not hold responsible those who forget and those who actually make mistakes. Now, in another part of the Quran, of the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us the aspect of shaitan making somebody forget, or shaitan being a means of somebody forgetting. And this is in Surah Al-Kahf, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to us the aspect of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, when he went out to look for Khidr. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam goes out to look for Khidr. Remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, there's a person who is more knowledgeable than you, or a person who also has a lot of knowledge. Go and find him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that you will find him at a place, or the sign that you will see when you are close to him is when you spot the whale or the fish, the hoot. So here Musa alayhi salatu wasalam sets out on this journey with Yusha ibn Nun, and Yusha actually saw the whale or saw the fish. However, he forgot to mention it to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. So what happens? He said, وَمَا أَنْسَانِي, that nothing made me forget إِلَّا الشَّيْطَانَ أَنْ أَذْكُرَ, except shaitan. Shaitan made me forget to mention this to you. So this is also a teaching from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us regarding shaitan's ability to make one forget. So this is a meaning, obviously, those of you who read every Friday the 15th Juz Surah Al-Kahf would find what I've just said just now in it, the aspect of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam going looking for this person, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informing him the signs that he would see when he's close to this person. And Yusha saw the whale or saw the fish and forgot to tell Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And then he told Musa alayhi salatu wasalam that nothing made me forget except shaytan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ إِذَا نَسِيتْ, that remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you forget. So this is a lesson to us also, that if we happen to forget something, as we are weak, as we may forget, and we do forget many a time, we should remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek assistance from him in us actually remembering. And this is also advice for those students who engage in writing exams. During exam time, you may have studied a lot, you may have put in all the hard work. However, you need to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You use the means. The means is to study. Make sure you know all your material. Don't just go into the exam and say, look, whatever's meant to happen will happen. You need to study hard, use all the material available to you. You know, whatever you don't understand, go back to your teachers, make sure you understand properly. Then turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek his assistance from shaitan making you forget, and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect that knowledge that you have learned, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you remember it and recall it when there is need for you to recall it. So if you're sitting in the exam and you forget, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaching us shaitan's ability to make one forget. And then what happens? So this person forgot to mention Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam to his king. فَلَبِثَ فِي السِّجْنِ, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam remained in the prison. بِدْعَ سِنِينَ, for several years. Now, bid'a obviously means a number between 3 and 10, as taught to us by those who specialize in the Arabic language. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam spent several years between 3 and 10 years in the prison. Now, we said that we learned from Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam asking this person to remember him the permissibility to seek assistance in that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a means for you to seek assistance from. Obviously, there are certain things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't make a means for you to seek assistance from. So one should make sure that they only use as a means that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a means. If you use as a means that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't make a means, then that is against the concept of tawheed and you are doing damage to your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So remember, only use as a means that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a means. For example, you need help in something. For example, let's take an easy example, that which is closer to our mind. You need to pick up something which is heavy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed as a means in somebody else assisting you to carry this thing. If you seek assistance from the next person, your friend, you say, listen, please help me carry this up the stairs, and he assists you, there's no problem in that. Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed the means of him assisting you in him. So you can seek assistance from that person. However, if it is something solely from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you are seeking something that nobody can give you except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasn't placed this assistance in anybody except him, and then you turn to somebody else and look for this help, you are damaging your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not from al-akhth bil-asbab, from using that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made as a means, and you are affecting your belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness and correct your ways immediately. So we need to understand this. The reason why I'm speaking about it more than once is because this got to do with tawheed. And many of us today actually lack when it comes to our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, so many times, and this is just a point that comes to mind, not from what we're speaking about here, but even the aspect of somebody saying, touch wood. A'udhu billah. So what happens? Somebody is going through a good spell, alhamdulillah, the business is going well, they're not receiving any losses, they're making profits on a daily basis. Then you say, how's the business going? He goes, touch wood, it's going well. We need to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this. This is definitely dangerous to a believer and his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for those who want want more information about it, they should actually phone in. By all means, I will sit and discuss this with them. And this is something which we hear from many Muslims today. They learn this phrase from the kuffar, as if by touching wood, it's going to assist them or it's going to help them and they won't receive any bad luck. This is against the concept of tawheed. This is against the concept of tawakkul. This is a serious situation where a believer has to worry and seriously worry when it comes to his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people, when they're speaking and somebody doesn't believe them, for example, so they're saying something and the person says, I don't believe you. They say, look, food is in front of me. I can't lie, there's food in front of me. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in front of you. So we need to watch our statements carefully. We need to make sure that our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is intact. We need to make sure that we die as Muslims. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from all the aspects of shirk al-akbar and shirk al-asghar, the lesser shirk and the major shirk. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance. We ask Him to protect us and guide us onto the right path. We ask Him to grant us true realization, whereby we sit with the ulama on a daily basis if the need requires it, and learn from them exactly what is required from us in the avenue of tawheed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam had full trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knew that, listen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever He decrees will happen. If I'm meant to stay here, I will stay here. If it's meant for me to go out, I will go out. But he used that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made a means for him. And this again is a lesson for us, because look, shaitan made this person forget and Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was stuck in the prison. Now, he didn't sit there and say that, subhanallah, I'm sitting here, I'm stuck here, I told that guy to go out, and or I used as a means that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made as a means, and it still didn't work for me, I'm still sitting in the prison. You know, he didn't lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was content with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He did everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said is from you to do. He used this person as a means. He said, go tell your king about me. That person forgot. He didn't sit and question, why did he forget? Why he didn't forget? Why did you do this? Why you didn't do this? And this we'll see later, because this wine pourer is going to remember Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam later on. And he's going to come back to Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. He was totally content that, listen, I've done everything that I could. The rest is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prefers that I stay here. He has decreed and declared that I will remain here. He is content. He has accepted the taqdeer and qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and thus he is content with the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not in a state of depression and anxiety and intense sadness. So again, the patience of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam stands out. Now, there's another interpretation to this verse, and I'm just mentioning it for benefit. In all essence, it seems like a weaker interpretation, but some have mentioned that actually Shaytan made Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam forget to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here in the ayah, when we're discussing when we were discussing Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam telling this person that, listen, go and mention me to your master, some have interpreted the ayah whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَأَنْسَاهُ الشَّيْطَانُ ذِكْرَ رَبِّ, meaning Shaytan made Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam forget to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaytan made Yusuf forget to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Yusuf remembered this person and said, look, you help me. And as a punishment to him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left him in the prison for several more years. This is a weaker interpretation, first and foremost, for the aspects that I did mention, in that al-akhd bil-asbab is from tawheed, and Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam used the means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made permissible to him. The second reason why we can say this is a weaker interpretation is because if Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam did make a mistake, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have mentioned him asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. Just like in the case of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, and in the case of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Allahumma inni dhalamtu nafsi faghfir li faghfara la. So when Musa alayhi salatu wasalam made a mistake, immediately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions him turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeking forgiveness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't mention Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam asking forgiveness, because Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam never actually made a mistake. So that's the second point. The third point that we can mention is because later on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the wine pourer remembered Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. When the king had this dream, and we'll come to it just now, he had this dream and he asked those around him to interpret the dream for him, and they couldn't. Then what happened? This wine pourer remembered Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. So the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that he remembered is strong argument in showing that the person who actually forgot was the wine pourer. He forgot to mention Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam to the king, and thus Yusuf stayed for a longer period in the prison. Not the other way around, that Yusuf forgot to remember Allah and Allah punished him by keeping him in the prison. And also another point that we can say is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't take from you that which you forgot. So if Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam actually forgot to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punish him? Now the story moves on. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam still in the prison. The wine pourer is in the palace, in the castle with the king, and he's working for him. And then what happens? وقال الملك إني أرى سبع بقرات سمان يأكلهن سبع عجاف وسبع سنبلات خضر وأخرى يابسات. The king, the highest authority in the land, has a dream. He sees a dream. And not just any dream. A dream that truly one can't help but feel has a meaning to it. Why? Because he's seeing something which is not normal. He sees seven fat cows. Seven fat cows. And these fat, well-bred cows are being eaten by seven weak, lean, thin cows. So that's the first aspect. Then, the second aspect is that he sees seven green stakes of grain, meaning seven crops of grain, very healthy looking crops, and he sees other dry crops. So it's confusing. He's seeing something and he's seeing the opposite. He sees seven fat cows, very healthy, and the seven fat cows are being overtaken by seven thin cows, and obviously common sense and reality tells us that this is impossible. Then he sees seven healthy crops of grain being overtaken by seven dry ones. Now obviously grain which is dry falls to the ground immediately and doesn't have or doesn't have the ability to take over grain which is healthy and green, which is full of life, which is undergoing the processes of photosynthesis, which is full of chlorophyll, etc., as science teaches us. So he is in shock. He wakes up and he's thinking to himself that there's definitely a message in this dream. I need this dream interpreted. So what does he say? He says, Ya ayyuhal mala'u. Ya ayyuhal mala'u aftuni fil ru'yaya. In kuntum lil ru'ya ta'burun. He immediately commands his advisors to come through emergency meeting. They sit down and they have an emergency meeting whereby they need to discuss an important aspect. So all these advisors are here, the best in the land to the king, people who he trusts, people who he recognizes as people of knowledge, of people of understanding, those who have been educated, those who are advising him, meaning those who grant him sound advice when it comes to him actually dealing with his country. So he calls all these people in. They have an emergency meeting and he says, listen, this is what I saw in my dream. O people, O eminent ones, explain to me my dream if you are interpreters of the dreams. If you can interpret the dreams, if you are from amongst those who have knowledge. In kuntum lirru'ya ta'burun. So, what do they say? They say, Subhanallah. And this is a lesson for us as well. They say, قَالُوا أَدْغَاثُ أَحْلَامٍ وَمَا نَحْنُ بِتَأْوِيلِ الْأَحْلَامِ بِعَالِمِينَ. They said that don't even give thought to this dream that you have seen. It is nothing but a nightmare. It is nothing but a nightmare. You just had a scary dream. Don't even worry about it. And we are not, you know, from amongst those who specialize in interpreting bad dreams. This is what they say. So, they don't have knowledge about it, but what do they say? They said, all you had was a nightmare. Don't even give a second thought to it. It was just a nightmare, and we are not from amongst those who waste our time specializing in interpreting nightmares. This is not our specialty. Just forget about the whole thing. And this is the way, respected listeners, of those who don't know. Instead of saying simply, I don't know, they end up going out and finding excuses to defend their weakness. And remember before I answered the question about depression yesterday, I said that we will only answer it for so many reasons. Because it is not upon a person to answer a question that he doesn't know. And the ulama have taught us that saying no is half of all ilm. It's half of knowledge to say you don't know. So these people, instead of saying, listen, we don't know what's going on here. This seems like a tricky dream. We don't know if it's a nightmare. It could be a nightmare. It could be a message. We don't know about it. You better find someone else who can assist you here. What do? They find an excuse to defend their weakness. And this is from the unpraised or unpraiseworthy qualities of man. That when he doesn't know something, instead of saying that this is a weakness that I have, they end up defending that weakness and finding excuses for it. So, they immediately just pass the statement as, you know what, forget about the whole thing. It's nothing that you should even give importance to. And worse off, you find people who don't even recognize that they have a weakness. And that's even worse. If you find somebody who thinks they know everything, that is a person that you need to stay away from. Because remember, I didn't say he knows everything. He thinks that he knows everything. Or she thinks that she knows everything. A person who thinks that they know but they don't know, that is a person you need to stay away from. Because what are you going to teach a person who thinks they know everything? According to them, they are right. There's nothing that you can teach me. There's nothing that you know that I don't know. So this is even a worse quality. One is to find excuses and defend yourself in your weaknesses. And then the other aspect is when you don't know something, you claim to know it. And these are people which we need to stay away from. Why? Because they will only send us into the avenues of destruction and disaster, because there's nothing that you can teach these people. Even if you try to give them advice, they're not ready and willing to listen to you. Why? Because I know already. So now, and you know, a point that comes to mind is that at the time of Musa alayhi salatu wassalam, when those magicians saw what Musa alayhi salatu wasalam did with his stick. Now obviously as a magician they knew that they were fake. They understood immediately that we are fake. But obviously it wasn't from their practice to tell the people that, listen, we are only magicians. We are only playing with you people. What you're actually seeing is not a reality. This is just a vision. Right? But when they saw The snake of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, immediately they acknowledged that, listen, what this guy has come with, what Musa alayhi salatu wasalam has come with, isn't magic. And they acknowledged the reality, and thus they were saved and successful. Remember, they immediately, وَخَرُّ لَهُ سُجَّدًا, they fell into sujood. So they immediately acknowledged that what Musa alayhi salatu wasalam has come here, meaning what he has done, is a reality, and he's definitely a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They didn't act ignorant and try and find excuses for their weaknesses. They immediately acknowledged the reality, and thus they were from the successful. So this teaches us that when you don't know something, say that you don't know. Don't find excuses for your weaknesses, and not only in the things that you know or you don't know, in anything else. It is not from incompetence for one to say, I can't do something. The fact that you can acknowledge that you are weak in a certain avenue means you are a person who's out there to succeed. Means you are willing to learn, you are willing to progress, and you are willing to be the best. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who are the best. So the highest authority in the land sees a dream, and the best advisors in the land cannot assist here. Now, what do you think of a person who can solve the problem? The highest authority sees a dream. The highest advisors in the land can't solve the problem. What would you say, or what would you title the person who now comes and solves the problem for the king? Obviously, we would say he is more qualified and more competent, and he has more right to be an advisor to this king. So now what happens? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues and says, وَقَالَ الَّذِي نَجَى مِنْهُمَا وَادَّكَرَ بَعْدَ أُمَّةٍ أَنَا أُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِتَأْوِيلٍ. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this ayah also confirms the first thing I was saying, that the person who forgot was not Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, it was the wine pourer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the one who was freed, meaning this person from the prison who became the wine pourer in the palace of the king, this person remembered after a period of time. And he said, I will inform you of this interpretation, so send me forth. An even more bizarre story, that now, after all these hotshots, intelligent, intellectual people cannot interpret this dream, the wine pourer, who is a slave, who isn't expected to know anything, says, you know what? I will inform you of this dream. I will interpret it for you. So please send me away. He's obviously a slave. He has to seek permission from the king that, listen, I will inform it for you. However, I need you to give me permission to I need you to give me leave for a little bit so I can go out and find an interpretation for you. So the king is astonished. I mean, any king would be here. The wine pourer, the slave, is talking. And the wine pourer had everything to gain from this. I mean, if the best can't do it and I can do it, this means there's obviously a promotion for me, first and foremost. Or even better, I will be freed. So what happens? The king gives him permission and he goes out. So what happens? He says, Yusufu ayyuha siddiq. He goes back to the prison, this wine pourer. He goes back to the prison. He sees Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, and he goes, oh Yusuf, oh man of truth. Now, what do we learn from this first and foremost? First and foremost, subhanallah, this person, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, asked him to do something. He forgot to do it. He goes out, he's enjoying out there being free. Now all of a sudden he comes back. He doesn't say, how are you? How have you been? Sorry, you asked me to do something for you. I forgot to do it. You know, please accept my apologies. Not even asking for an apology, not even asking how Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam immediately gets in there and says, oh truthful one, oh Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, explain to us. Aftina fi sab'i baqaratin simani ya'kuluhunna sab'un ijaf wa sab'i sumbulatin khudr wa ukhra yabisat. Immediately he says, oh Yusuf, explain to us about the 7 fat cows that are eaten by 7 thin ones, and the 7 healthy crops of grain that were taken out by the 7 dry ones. Please tell me. Immediately he's demanding this from Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. He says, tell me so that I can return to the people, to the king and his court and those who are advising him, and explain to them the interpretation of this dream that the king had. So what does Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam do over here? Now, first and foremost, what will you and I do? We've asked this person, listen, remember me to your master. This person forgets. He totally forgets. He comes back. He doesn't greet. He doesn't even ask for assistance. Yusuf alayhi, meaning for an apology. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, time after time was tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Time after time, he passed the test. Even when this person forgot to mention him to the king, he sat in the prison, not sulking, not complaining. He accepted the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this person comes back. If it was yourself and myself, we would, I think without doubt, tell this person that who do you think you are to come here after I asked you to do something, you didn't even accommodate me, you didn't even give it thought, and now you come back without even apologizing, without even finding out how I am, you're using me. You're asking me to help you again to interpret this dream, so you used me the first time, you want to use me again? Subhanallah. And this is from the weakness of one's character. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam had superior quality in his character. He didn't say any of this. He was patient. He was totally content with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knew that he used all that which was available to him. And he left the rest in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knew that I am in the prison because it is the wish of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'm totally happy with that. I'm totally content. This person's come back. I don't have a grudge with him. There's nothing for me to have a grudge, you know, with him about. It is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I am totally content with the decree of my Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam immediately starts solving the problem. Without saying anything, he hears what this guy has to say, immediately he starts solving the problem. Whilst being in a state where he is totally in acceptance of the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What quality? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the character of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam immediately interprets the dream for this person. And we will learn that he doesn't only interpret the dream, but he solves the problem. So he tells them what the dream means. And he tells them that in this dream there are problems. Not only am I going to send you back to your king with an interpretation, I'm going to send you back to the king with the solution. Subhana rabbi al-a'la. And this is a teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whereby he told us, yassiru wa la tu'assiru, that facilitate things for one another. Make things easier for one another. Don't be from amongst those who are obstacles. Facilitate things for one another. Make things easy for one another. Don't be from amongst those who stand in the way. And this is a lesson for us today. We find, unfortunately, the Muslim Ummah, you know, unfortunately, they engage, especially in regards to their own Muslim brothers. If somebody's trying to move up a little bit, trying to progress a little bit, they find, and this person might come to them for assistance, looking for a bit of help, they don't feel it within themselves to assist this person. Instead, they feel it within themselves to make things difficult for them. So this is a teaching which is, or this is a practice which is against the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yassiru wa la tu'assiru, that facilitate things for one another and don't make things difficult for one another. Here Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam teaches us this again, where he says that, listen, immediately I will solve the dream, interpret it for you, and I will on top of that give you a solution to your dream. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam says, or interprets the dream and gives them the solution. Now, before telling you what Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam actually told this person, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when interpreting or narrating the story to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, at this point he said, لَقَدْ عَجِبْتُ مِي يُوسُفْ, I am totally amazed with Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. I am in awe of him. وَصَبْرِهِ وَكَرَمِهِ وَاللَّهُ يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ, I am amazed, or I am in amazement in regards to Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam and the patience aspect of his and the generosity aspect of his. Subhanallah, what patience did he have, what generosity did he have, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive him. This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying. He's saying that when Yusuf, after that he said, when Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was asked about the interpretation of the dream, I wouldn't have told him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, I wouldn't have told them. I would have only told them the interpretation after I put a condition that if I tell you or solve this problem for you, you will remove me from the prison. Subhanallah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam here is admiring the levels of patience, the generosity, the superior character of Yusuf alayhi salatu wa sallam. So he openly tells the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in that if it was me, I would have put a condition that, listen, you want my help on condition that you take me out of the prison. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam. You know, I am amazed with his generosity, with his patience. Wallahu yaghfirullah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive him. So this is a teaching to us, respected elders and brothers, in regards to the aspect of us actually facilitating things for one another. We should never ever look at our own gains. What am I going to gain from this? What am I going to lose from this? At the end of the day, you are a Muslim. Whatever you do is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by doing it, you are earning yourself Jannah. And we are not in this world except that we earn the highest ranks in Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us Jannah. Now, once again, speaking about depressions and problems, do our problems and depressions even come close to that of Yusuf? And time again, look at this. Subhanallah, he comes out with flying colors. No matter what. You know, today people might have a problem in the home a little bit, and they walk out the home with a gloomy face, and they might meet their friends on the street or at the workplace or in the masjid, and you can see it on their faces, this gloominess, it's affecting them. They don't know how to deal with people. They take the bad animosity from the home which they had and use it on everybody that they might see during the day. And we're talking about minor petty issues. Look at the problems that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam has gone through. But do our depressions and petty issues come close to this? And I'm saying petty because in reality, if we even tried to compare what we go through to what Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam went through, we can't even compare. It is, our problems are a drop in the ocean. So this also teaches us that no matter what, don't hold grudges. You know, don't hold grudges. Be in acceptance of the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam not only interprets the dream, solves it for him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam tells the sahaba how he admires Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam in all the difficulties, in all the problems. He's been oppressed time and time again. He doesn't even tell them that, listen, on condition that you take me out, I will solve the problem. He immediately interprets the dream and solves the problem. Now, we learn from this a few lessons from the ayah and from the practice of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Remember, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam told him that the dream means this: you're going to have 7 years meaning 7 years of harvest. قَالَ تَزْرَعُونَ سَبْعَ سِنِينَ دَأَبًا. You're going to have 7 successful consecutive years of prosperity, meaning of a lot of rain, of a lot of harvest. فَمَا حَصَدْتُمْ فَذَرُوهَا فِي سُنْبُلَ. And that which you harvest, leave it in the spikes of the corn. Now this is Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam teaching them that if you don't remove the corn from its packaging, meaning when it grows, you can actually preserve the corn by doing that. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is saying you will have 7 solid years of rain and of harvest. For 7 solid years, leave the corn in its spikes, except a little from which you will eat. So take a little bit that you will use to eat during the 7 years, and only a little bit, and save the rest and put it in storage for the other 7 years that are going to come, whereby the country will suffer severe drought. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam says that 7 fat cows being overtaken by 7 thin cows and 7 healthy crops being overtaken by 7 thin crops means that there's going to be 7 years of good rain, of a lot of happiness, of a lot of harvest. People are going to be in prosperity. People are going to be happy. But after that, there's going to become 7 years of shidda, 7 years of drought. ثُمَّ يَأْتِي مِن بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ سَبْعٌ شِدَادٌ. Then after that will come 7 difficult years, shidad, difficult years, which you will consume during that time that which you saved. يَأْكُلْنَ مَا قَدَّمْتُمْ لَهُنْ. You will eat in the 7 difficult years that which you saved during the first 7 years when you had a lot of harvest. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is teaching them that, listen, this is what the dream means. I'm not only leaving you with the dream, here's the solution. The 7 years that we are planting or that you'll be planting, take only a little bit to eat. Save and preserve the rest. Leave the corn in its spikes, meaning in the spikes of the plant, of the crop, and preserve it. And obviously we have silos, etc., that are used to preserve corn. However they did it at that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But we do know even today that, and the farmers tell us this, that to preserve the corn, you actually leave it in the spikes of the crop. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is teaching them, showing his superior knowledge as well, that during the 7 years of harvest, preserve the corn in the spikes of the crop, put it in storage, and then when the 7 difficult years come, total drought, no rain, no crops, no agriculture, you will use the food that you preserved to feed your people. Now, we learn from this the following. First and foremost, that it is not against the aspect of tawakkul to plan and forecast and prepare. Tawakkul meaning your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not against the aspect of you having trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to plan for the future. You plan for the future. Like Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam here is advising them how to plan for the future, how to use the 7 years of good rainfall and good harvest, and how to conduct themselves in the 7 difficult years that will come afterwards. We also learn from this, and this is especially for leaders, for parents, for those of authority, the aspect of tackling problems and not just sweeping them under the carpet. The aspect of, look, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, he had tackled the problem. He realized that this is serious. We need to deal with it. It's not an aspect where we just sweep it underneath the carpet and pretend that nothing is going to happen. No, as a Muslim, we're supposed to address problems. And this is what we were mentioning to the parents all the time in all the talks that we've done in the various masajid and all the youth problems that we have been having. We've been telling the parents that, listen, you've got to address the problem. There's a problem that we have here. We cannot sit back and pretend that we don't have a problem with our youth, that our youth are not falling into the avenues of drugs, that our youth are not falling into the avenues of womanizing and alcohol and all these immoral activities that are disliked to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As a parent, we shouldn't believe for one moment that our child is not prone to disaster. You may trust your child, but you can't trust shaitan. And this is a lesson that we shouldn't be from amongst those who sweep things underneath the carpet. And also, this is a message to those parents who, when some well-wishers in society come to them and advise them that, listen, your son or your daughter is engaged in this evil or in this in this avenue which is disliked and not correct, you know, which affects the smooth balance of society, parents should not be oblivious and be stubborn and say, not my child, that can never happen to my child, and then just carry on like as if there's no problem. You know, this person visited us, sweep it underneath the carpet, no investigation, pretend that it doesn't exist, because by pretending that it doesn't exist, we'll all be happy and we all won't feel the depressions that we may feel if it does exist. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam teaches here the aspect of addressing and tackling problems as soon as they arise, instead of sweeping them underneath the carpet. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. I'm just going to go to the points that we can learn from this ayah very quickly, and then we inshallah will continue with the tafsir again tomorrow if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us life. We learn from this also the importance of having intelligent advisors around us. It is important that those who advise us, parents in the home, teachers at school, those in authority, governments, etc., it is important that you have those who are intellectuals around you, those who know, those who are capable of saying when they don't know, we don't know. This is important. And as a leader, even more important. Why? Because you are dealing with the affairs of so many people. So it is important that we have those who actually, or those who are intellectual and those who have the ability to intelligently advise us in the different aspects that we may be going through. We learn from this again as a last point, meaning in a general sense, the permissibility of advising the disbelievers, the kuffar, in issues that Muslims may be affected in. We are allowed to advise the kuffar in issues, especially issues that the Muslims will be affected in. Here we learn this from Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. As a believer, he is advising these disbelievers. And later on we'll see that Muslims did get affected, like Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam, because the brothers came also looking for this food. So we are allowed, there is a general permissibility and allowance for one to advise the kuffar, especially in those things that also affect the Muslims. But obviously, in certain circumstances, especially when there is a war between two countries, for example, a Muslim country and a non-Muslim country, in that circumstance, you are not allowed to advise them. So we need to understand this. That's why I said a general sense, but I am going to mention this because it might confuse a few people. You can advise them generally, especially in that which affects the Muslims. However, in circumstances such as a war between two countries, a Muslim is not allowed to advise the kuffar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. We'll stop here for today. Tomorrow, inshallah, we'll start listening to the recitation, because we have actually completed the tafsir of the last part that we heard. There were a lot of lessons that we learned from. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the understanding. Again, I apologize for not tackling any questions today. We are running short on time, and we still got a long way to go with this tafsir. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us acceptance. We ask Him to grant us the understanding. I will end by saying once again that everything correct in this tafsir is from from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if I did make any mistakes, it's from myself and shaytan, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his forgiveness. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد.